There we go. Welcome. Hey, folks, this is Tennyson Wolf. It is an April morning, April 13th, and welcome to Human to Human, the podcast. I am so excited for the guest and friend and fellow journeyer that's joining. I'm going to say a few things about her and then welcome her voice in. But for those of you who have listened before, this is a podcast that has a few related intentions that go with it. I so love and need to be in a thoughtful, heartful humanness with other folks. It's my preferred way of being, whether that be work or teams or friendships or family. And this is a podcast that seeks to welcome a little bit of that. I think of it as some wander together. And I think of it as some wonder together. I think of it as not needing to rush things with one another. There's a bit of a reboot going on for this podcast where it started out as, 7-minute things and 10-minute things. And I decided I really want and value the longer conversation with people also. And another layer is just it's conversations with interesting people. And, I think one of our jobs as human beings is to call out some of the interesting things with one another and be curious about that together. With all of that said, I want to name my guest here, Beth Tenner, who we have known each other and of each other. I think there's some of both of those qualities. And that's been over probably a 10-year-ish period. It gets a little blurry in my head, but we'll explore some of that together. Welcome, Beth. Hi.
Hi, Tennyson. I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, I'm glad. And I'd like to welcome your voice initially. I've said a bunch of things already, but I'd love to welcome your voice about how you are and how you're doing. And as listeners will know, we've deliberately not said a big pre-hello on this recording, so we get the freshness of, hey, how's it going with one another? It going? What's happening for you these days, Beth?
Oh, it is going really quite well. It feels like a really nice touch point to circle back as I met you. Yeah, I can't remember the year, but we were on the East Coast. I live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, so I'm here on a beautiful spring day near the one of those days where you can actually feel the ocean air blowing in inland, which is just such a treat because it's been winter. You don't smell that very often. And I think I met you at a wonderful Art of Hosting gathering in Southern Maine on the ocean. So it feels like remembering that beautiful time there at Ferry Beach, I think it was. Yeah. So I am well. I am in the middle of launching my own podcast, which has been really fun, called Living Love, with a similar intent of longer time for conversation on ideas and stories of things that show how we can be more loving in the world rather than so many depressing things happening right now with how humans treat each other. And I've got a new initiative called Kinship, and we can get into all that as well. But I would just say, in general, things are good, and it's nice to be in spring and be here with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I am relating to the spring part of that. We have had a late spring here in Utah where I live. And normally we get teased into spring earlier and then it gets cold again. This year it just stayed in the cold zone. And now there is just this abundance of green that is showing up right now. And something in me is just loving that. We will have a number of things. I think I shared with you when we were setting up this time together, Beth, that we probably won't cover everything and we'll leave out some good stuff even.
Probably.
So I'm welcoming that spirit together. There is a relief of not needing to completely tuck in everything or completely name everything. And I so love the spirit that I remember in you also when we met. There's something about, oh gosh, start with this and then just be curious about it and maybe ask a few good questions and things like that. So I'm going to follow a little bit of what you said because it jumps right into the heart of it for me. And I'm naming the reality, I suppose, that both of us over the years have been involved general storyline here in some facilitation, in some coaching, in some workshops, all of those kinds of things. And when I hear you speak about creating an emphasis on living love, whether it be podcast or the things that you do, oh boy, something in my heart comes alive. How did you get to some of the living love focus, Beth?
Let's see. For me, as you mentioned, I've done a lot of work in the kind of socially responsible business, nonprofits, spaces, mm-hmm. and government, a lot of cross-sector collaboration and social change work in my work. And in those spaces, particularly earlier in the corporate world when I worked there, like I often felt this split of how you had to show up professionally and then how you could show up personally, or things that you would, the way you would be with your friends and family, but then you got to work and you had to kind of put on a different face. And I was completely seeing that as normal for many years. And then as I grew into my 30s and 40s and had a profound experience of falling in love, actually, which I'd love to share more, delve into that. But it became this tension between those and saying, why is it that we're so different in these spaces? So as I got into art of hosting and more of these ways of being together that are more spacious, not so agenda driven. I mean, they can still have an agenda, but just starting to recognize that the quality of the social relationships, the ways we interact with each other, is so core to actually getting meaningful work done, but also core to us being, you know, healthy as human beings. So I think for me, it was really starting to say, I want to live as one person and say that's all of a piece. And I feel like the larger community is moving in that way as mindfulness and the recognition of the quality of the workplace culture becomes more and more important. And as we get into looking at diversity and inclusion and anti-racism and social justice, like these things are all merging to me back towards what's the quality of our relational fields and interactions. So that's a start. Back to you.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, I think I'm a person who needs to name things. Sometimes annoyingly so, mm-hmm. and sometimes insightfully so, maybe sometimes both even. But that quality of relational leadership is one that I have found really helpful and useful. And probably over the last year and a half in particular, I find myself speaking that, Beth. And there is a hunger I know in my own belly to try and speak to some of those bridges that you were just naming. Like it is something, and it matters that people care about their work and I care about my work. It matters that we care about the things that we do with one another. And sometimes that's at very inspirational levels. And sometimes that's at some real trouble levels, like some real difficulty levels or repair needed kinds of levels. But I have found that when I seek for something that I want to either voice into the room or voice with the, you know, the people who are asking for a something, something facilitation, mm-hmm. I find I need to come back to that layer and say, you know, what, and it's often my style is I'll yeah. ask it as a what if question, you know, what if in the end it were really about a quality of relation with one another. And when you throw leadership onto the end of that, I think it opens up even some more doors, relational mm-hmm. leadership. But ooh boy, to bridge that quality of we want to do good work and we want to be whole and healthy human beings together. I am so glad to be connected with people like you and mm-hmm. a field of other folks who dare to lift up such a priority and purpose with one another.
Yeah, I agree. And the idea that they can be equal measure, you know, side yeah. by side, like the quality of the relationships and the quality of the results that we're going for. I mean, I think where I'm coming to, it's actually another step beyond that, which is so that you have the relationships between the people or the parts, right? But it's also starting to recognize that the whole community or the whole team or this whole, you know, initiative, say it's a collaboration, that's also a living being that we're tending to And, you know, so the quality of the denseness of the relationships and the health of those, but also how are we all feeling, naming, speaking to, caring for the health of the whole that we're a part of, the health of the relationships and the health of the whole. And that in a lot of the work I've done is often a sort of, as a friend of mine says, invisibilized or just not tended to. Would you see it that way as well? Or?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Look at us, a couple of curious questions, just bouncing questions off of each other. This is fun.
Yeah.
I would say I feel that in my experience, that dates back to some of the earlier work I got to do in this field, which for me was work with Meg Wheatley, Margaret Wheatley. And that was in the early 90s. And she was a person that was offering some of that voice. And there were others who were doing that also, but Meg was the person that I was close to and close with. And she was naming the systemic whole of things. And sometimes that had a deeply, you know, spiritual quality to it. And sometimes it had just a good science-y quality to it. Like, I remember Meg asking some questions back then around, if we're going to design our organizations after science, then why not the science of our times rather than the 300-year-old parts science kind of stuff, right?
Love it. Yeah, that's a good question.
Do you find, Beth, that like what is it that enables or compels you to work and think and feel and invite in such ways?
I just love the coherence when you are in really good conversation with someone, or that the magic of when you have a group that, you know, that comes in into the room, maybe kind of fragmented and not knowing each other and awkward. And then the way as a host, you just give small structures, invite some storytelling, some small groups, you know, how that goes. And like, I love the wave of emergence of like what starts to shift with a group. And I guess I'm also someone who, when I've had those high experiences of love or what can be possible in a caring community that's really aligned, it's just, I'm just like, I want that everywhere. And I get so frustrated with how many of the spaces we're in. We don't like that we can do things that will lead to that. And then there's a lot of spaces where we're using the old ways and they're just kind of tedious or toxic. And I guess so it's just a fire in me to say, if there's this potential and we can be this way, working in this way, still getting stuff done, but doing it in a way where you actually emerge having some friends out of the work. Like I've in the last week just had, you know, I was visiting a great maker space, you know, these like hubs where they have all the crafts, and some other people on the tour were saying, this is small town New Hampshire. Like, yeah, I've lived here 17 years and I've only made 2 friends. Right. I'm like, come on, we can do better than that. Really? Yeah. It's so sad to me, you know?
You know, one of the ways that I hear that, and for me, my work shows up in a few different places. Sometimes it's in a more formalized leadership community, you know, and sometimes it's in the space of, you know, deeply inner and outer retreats. Like people really want to be good human beings together. That's a storyline that I find I need to carry with myself. But when I look at, you know, I want to design good things and I want to be a good collaborator with the folks that I work with. And, you know, we come up with some pretty good workshoppy things and exercise things. And I'd like to think that most of that comes from a good heartful space, heart inviting space that has everything to do with doing good work in the world. You know, I'll just make that connection again. But the pattern that I notice often is one where, you know, you're kind of asking people, or whether it's directly, like not so much in an evaluative way, but just, hey, yeah, what was one thing that you appreciated from this workshop today? And then make it a you know, around or something to express or harvest out loud. And often the people say, like the pattern that I hear is, I'm just glad to know my colleagues, or I'm glad to get to talk to people that I don't normally get to talk with. And, you know, some of that is just like a deeply belly felt, heartfelt human quality, an appreciation for, I would tend to point that into some storylines of belonging or attributing, you know, some of that. And some of it is like really needed strategic stuff. Like we clearly share work together, but we rarely get opportunity to talk or to talk in this way with one another. That sometimes includes things like, you know, let's be maybe be a little direct and not quite try to solve a problem. A little indirect and not try to solve a problem quite so quickly, but maybe just know each other. Like, who are you and what do you care about? And how long you've been here? And you know, what's it like for you to be here? Do you relate? How do you relate to those things, Beth?
Oh, I see that all the time. I mean, for me, part of why I really got towards I'm sort of a geek for all the methods to build deeper human relationships.
One geek talking to another geek.
Every part of the work. So, because I was involved in helping facilitate collaborative efforts, you know, that were very like, where do we want to be and what's our plan in 3 years? And we got, and like in the Northeast, part of my challenge with Art of Hosting is people are really into like, can we do it in 2 hours? Can we do it in 90 minutes? Now, can we do it on Zoom? Like to get people for the 3 or 4 days, which is where it really cooks like a soup is hard. But I mean, I would be involved in these things where we'd be 2 years in and people would still not know each other.
Yeah.
And I would say, can we just do what you're talking about? Let's just do something where we, you know, find ways to create hubs of who's interested in what and give you half an hour free at the lunch at the end to talk to other people. And like in half an hour is like, I've been sitting next to this guy and, you know, they have the whole speaker series and we have all these topics and we're going to go talk. And like that stuff would start to surface. And I'm like, what a waste for 2 or 3 years. We're never activating that in the room. So now I'm always like, small groups share a story of, I have this little mapping thing where it's like, find your people, do topic tables at lunch. You know, it's like I squeeze it in so that you can't, you know, one of my favorite quotes is Movement Net Lab says, no one should go home unconnected. You know, that idea of like, give them a little help to find each other. And we often don't design for that, right? So, because once you do, that's my other thing I'll say, as you're trying to get a group quiet, I'm like, would you please stop networking? Because people want to talk. When you give them some space and a little structure to help them along. Yeah,
it's kind of fun to, you know, I like to be serious about my work. I like to think that there's some, and there is, right? I'll claim this. There's some deep purposes that go on there. But underneath it, I find there's those kind of simple statements, like you just named one. You know, what if we were just trying to give a little help to find each other? And might do some good things for how, you know, we work together in this community or this team or this organization. I love those things. Maybe we're just gonna, you know, offer a few things that help us find each other just a little bit.
Gosh,
that is so good.
It is. Well, it feels like also, because a lot of the work I've done is with collaboratives, where it's not like the boss saying, you know, you're trying to get a bunch of different organizations to find common purpose and work together, even though a lot of their funding and other incentives are to meet their organizational goals. So partly I was always trying to say, well, if they come to each meeting and meet an interesting person and find someone to have coffee with or get a new project at it, in the course of doing the common work, that'll keep them coming back. That's one way I've thought of it, right?
Yeah, because it seems like in the story I tell myself, it animates. Some of us are pretty good at sharing words and all of that kind of stuff and, you know, speaking the inspirational qualities. But I think the truth of it is sometimes when people find each other and realize, you know, they both have kids or grandkids that like to play baseball, that's the thing that sticks, you know, and then that's also the thing that goes, well, you know, jeepers, we could have another coffee and we could even talk about some other things. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So high fives to finding the simplicity. And I think that's part of why I wanted to reach out, Beth. You know, like I'm on your mailing list and I've received some of your newsletters along the way and podcast announcements and things. And when I listen to those, there's some thread in there that I continue to feel and remember from meeting 10 years ago or whenever it was, that's like, oh my gosh, here's another human that's sort of searching for that, these like deeply purposed narratives of what are we really up to? And even narrative feels like a bit of a stuffy word around that. It's like, well, you know, what's the real story here? What's the you know, the compelling why of why we exist as humans or humans in this community? Even you can see these are some of the, you know, the storylines that I get pretty darn excited about.
Yeah, well, I've felt that way with you, Tennyson, like checking your blog and seeing what you and Quinita are up to. Just, you know, we're kind of gathered around similar fires. I have this image like we're on separate little bonfires on the beach or something, but we're asking a lot of the same questions and paying it to different.
Yeah. And you can see the fire down the beach, right? You can't see who's there, but you can see that there is a fire.
Like they're over there talking about a lot of the same things. And, you know, every once in a while you get this like gem of what, you know, there was one Quinita had, I'm trying to remember what it was, but I put it into other materials I was working on around braveness. So I love that, the exchange of the highlights together over time.
Well, and I think that's what we do. You know, I think there are many of us who are a little networked oriented, and boy, I think it's our job to listen, pay attention, borrow, improve, use, accredit in some cases. Yeah. You know, we do all these things. So thank you for naming that. And Quinita and I got to do a lot of things together. We had about 7 years there where we really cultivated quite an ecosystem, if you will, and community of good folks. And that's continuing in some moved and evolved ways. We're actually not working together quite in the same capacity now, Beth. But boy, what an important time that she and I shared in friendship and growing some of this quality of work with one another. So I'm really, really glad for that. And also know that there comes a time when you kind of shift things and move into other mysteries also, or hopefully other contributory ways with one another. Mm-hmm. Can I shift just a little?
Sure.
Kinship feels like such a compelling notion. Will you share a little bit more about what's that meaning for you, and what's some of what you're conspiring around as it pertains to kinship? It's potent word to me, potent energy.
Yeah, it is. And I guess maybe there's a story that was sort of at the heart of it. I mentioned a little earlier of like, for me, in my late 30s, I fell in love with someone named Rick Bell, who was quite a friend to many. I mean, he was just really just incredibly emotionally intelligent and wise. And it was definitely one of those falling in love quite fast and quickly. And he was just like, in terms of those little practices of making you feel belonging and cared for, he was just exquisite at it. Like so good. Sometimes I would go, are you from the future? You know, both with me and all our friends and family. And sadly, we only got 5 years together because he got cancer, and, you know, right kind of as our lives are coming together. And it was this profound, I mean, horrendous challenge of going through that with someone you love, but then, and it turned out to be terminal. And then there was this quality of the way he and I had both loved each other and our friends and family. So when we got in that crisis time, like this love all just like flowed back to us. It was incredible. It just, all these ways, our communities, our work friends, our family, you know, there's organized committees with subcommittees and people coming up to chop wood and cook food and make us music videos and pick me up from the hospital. I mean, there were just a zillion ways that our community self-organized and were there for us. Like, so like that love all just flowed back in. And it was such a profound experience of community and what that can be like. And as someone who in my work is kind of like you, like, let's figure out an agenda, we need a strategic plan, you know, like in that moment of crisis, just to see how fluidly and beautifully people can be there with such deep love and care. It was just, so it was very life-changing for me. And I've never forgotten that piece. So that the interest in friendship, I was actually thinking at that Art of Hosting, I actually called a open space on friendship as a force for social change, and feeling like that's often, we don't bank on that. We don't invest in it and grow it because we're so individualized focused self-care and self-compassion and your leadership journey. And so that was one piece of kinship. And then the other piece, as someone who thinks about systems and how do we look at the deepest roots of what the traumas and the challenges are? So I've spent years thinking about environment and climate, and I've been in permaculture and a lot of different fields. But one of the definitions of trauma is that something happened to the individual that was more than they could bear without having resources. And if you have resources and a caring community, you know, a caring parent who things get overwhelming, you can go back to and re-regulate your system. Healthy social engagement is like the baseline before we could do fight, flight, freeze, right? You go back into that. So the trauma research on kinship and that is fascinating. And if you understand addiction and like so many of the roots of racism, of the migration to America, displaced genocide of Native peoples, like all of that broke up kinship networks. So if we want to be healing now and we want to be able to cope now, the root we can do is rebuild our root networks of kinship and loneliness and isolation, right? And lack of trust. So I kind of kept coming back to kinship being where we need to be investing, the how and the process and the practice of the relational fields between two, between groups, between larger communities. So I really see the visual of root networks in every community.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And not to mention in self, like it turns out that the entire process of working some of that clarity or courage or surrender within self or within whatever people might identify as a larger realm, a spirit realm, boy, those are big things. I am, thanks for sharing it that way too, Beth. I'm just so drawn into, it sounds like a relanguaging thing, but I think it's so much more than that. Like, I think there's a re-energizing, and even that feels like a bit of a co-opted word and concept. So what's the truth of it here? I think there's something in our bodies that hungers for the kind of connection that you're describing, or the kind of memory of connection also. There are so many ways that contemporary life, particularly in Western society, has evolved into a rather siloed form. And people know that and everything, but I think this is some of the hunger that I feel and see with people. And, you know, it's a little different vibration, if you will, to say, kinship, let's talk about kinship, or an invitation to kinship, or what kinship could be. It's a little different vibe than talking about high performance teams. That is not to poo-poo on the places where that language is needed, you know, or, oh my gosh, that's the invitation that helps people to show up with a little more authenticity, because that can be, you know, baked into some of that thinking. But boy, I so appreciate and relate to this desire to kind of transform the way that we even begin to talk and connect about such doing and being in the world.
Yeah, I agree with you on that it just feels different. And I feel like there's, what I'm seeing now is I really would just want to go build new spaces that don't exist that need to, that are, I'm kind of so tired of nonprofit world and all the framings of that. And the, you know, this, so part of what I want to start doing is offering like longer weekend retreats for leaders. And I've lately just started going, anytime I've been in a leadership program that's very like lecture based about all the issues locally. And every time I see a leader who I'm like, okay, they're a good systems thinker and I really like where they're headed, I just go up to them and I'm like, hey, I'm thinking of doing these leadership retreats where we just get together and hang out and talk about what's going on and what we need, like no agenda, no urgent action place to be, no, you know, mindfulness training you're going to come on a weekend and learn. Like, just show up. And I do offer these spaces now where we just show up, what's moving for you now, and we're collective resourcing, and you just can show up saying, I don't know. I don't try to create anything in the space. So I feel like this level of productivity and efficiency and constant push, like people are exhausted. And every time I say, would you want to come to a weekend like that? Like people's face light up.
Right.
And they're like, yes, yes. You know, when is it?
I get excited.
Yeah. Like there's just these spaces where we aren't trying to accomplish things.
Yeah.
They're part of what is normal in community, and that we've really cut them out of our lives because we're all so busy and fragmented in a zillion ways. But the relationships are there, and I also wanted to bring in kinship is also really about kinship with the living earth, mm-hmm. and all of life, as well as feeling a sense of kinship with your line of ancestors and those who nice. Follow. So when I say, and the unseen, so I think of it in a very integrated way that all these relationships already exist, even if we don't ever think about them or invest in the relational field, mm-hmm. we're already in it. It's just, we don't see it. Right.
Oh, how beautiful. That is such a beautiful naming. Thanks for bearing with people who are listening. Won't see it, but I just moved my location. There's something going on outside by way of some of the yard care, meaning loud machines are coming. I was trying to move a little bit further away from it. So we'll go as well as we can here. Hey, I'm appreciating that. Maybe there's a couple things, Beth, that I would stir into our conversation. One, and in no particular order now, just an appreciation that, like, I think people are hungry. So when I listen to you speaking to, like, well, here's a systems thinking person, I'm thinking of creating a leadership retreat where we just listen. You know, in some way, I feel like we're naming something out loud that is a deeply felt, I want to even say it's stronger. I was going to say interest, but I think it's a need, you know, like yeah. it's a human re-socializing together or reintegrating together. Maybe in an age where there's enough disturbance of the entrained ways. Oh gosh, this is soapboxy material, but you know, there's a disturbance of some of those entrained ways, and it feels like there's a bigger field of people that are even saying, well, wait a minute, I think this can be a bit different. Or, you know, and some of that is age, like some of that is wisdom or initiations even. So just yay for that. Stringing this together, I guess. I got snoopy on your website because I wanted to, in a way of, you know, prepping a little bit or just being snoopy, period, for this call with you. And I see that you are booking some walk and talks with people and that you had specific locations even. Will you share, like, hey, cool beans, walk and talk?
I know. Well, at this point, it's a little more aspirational because I haven't.
Oh, well, you got me hooked. How many people if I was there.
Yeah. So on the kinship website, I have this coaching where I'll do systemic coaching or meeting design coaching or just figure it out. Where do I go next coaching? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I love walking in the woods and talking with a friend, and I'm tired of Zoom. Why do we all have to sit at desks? So I picked five beautiful nature places near me in the seacoast of New Hampshire where I walk. And I just, you know, you can book it on there and say, meet me at Ordione State Park or meet me at Urban Forestry. And we'll do our coaching session walking and talking. So people have said they've liked it, but I haven't yet, you know, and we just came out of winter. So I'm hoping I'll get more of those.
I'm going to cheer because that just brings in more of it. You know, the other part of it to bring in nature and maybe even some of the invisibles, for me, it's an ongoing thing, Beth, to explore a relationship with ancestors and what that means and what it feels like. And some of, for me, I know that there's just experiments with that, how I'm in relationship with fire, how I'm in relationship with earth, how I'm in relationship with memories of my grandparents and I even knew my great grandparents. or a little bit anyway along the way. So all of those things are happening, but a relationship with the invisible. And it's spring here where I live also. And as I was saying earlier in our call, it's just bursting with green right now. And I live in a place where it gets pretty hot in the summer. So green will drift into more browns and pretty dry conditions. But I've been sitting outside lately in my little backyard, having coffee in the mornings and making that a place where I just feel compelled to sit, actually. And in the space of the last 3 days, green has appeared on these trees, you know, the buds that show up. And some flowering will probably happen after that, or will happen after that. But I've just noticed that even this connects to the walk and talks, to the reclaiming some nature, outer and inner, or being with, period. I don't even know why, Beth, but something about sitting outside quietly with this relationship with these two trees in my backyard that are suddenly right on the front edge of bursting with green has felt like the most compelling and healthy thing that I could do as the human that I am, that has a fair amount to do and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, so I'm using myself as a case study here. Wow, interesting language. But anyway, using myself as an example here to say, I know that there's a certain something that awakens in me when I get still enough or quiet enough or attentive enough, maybe outside.
Yeah.
You're finding that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. And that I actually did a practice for almost a year and a half of every morning getting up and greeting the sun and kind of drawing from a Ottawa Shoni teacher of mine, Diana Longboat, you know, in that tradition, you know, you thank all the relations and you honor them. And so that practice, like going out to the same place every day, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then for me, I've been adding in just, you know, the heart of kinship and love to me is I see you, I'm here and I see you. So even for me, I try to also say, like I was down this morning with the lilacs, like the very, you know, yesterday it was a bud, today it was the teeniest flower within which was the teeniest beginning of the flower, which will be 2 or 3 more weeks, but just to like be delighted in saying I see you, you know. So it's also bringing in the relational aspect of oh, I see that tree every day, I see how you're changing. And I think it's I think it's fundamental remembering we can be doing. Yeah.
When you think of who you are in the world relationally and you, the Beth that you are, I imagine that there are some really core central encouragements that you are extending to folks, whether it be at the council meetings or walk and talks. Is there an essence to that encouragement that you are extending out these days, Beth?
What a question. I love that. I love that question. I guess I'm always kind of asking, you know, like what's moving for you or what is it that you're feeling drawn to these days? Or I kind of am in the trying to imagine the evolutionary potential within the person, or that the image of that there's something I'm here for or that wants to come through me, and how can I be in relation to it, or what is it in this person's life that I'm hearing? I've done a lot of work also with systemic constellation, which has really informed my worldview. So in that, it's a very relational way of starting to see the world. So when I'm with people, I'm listening for like, what is it that's wanting to move? Like, where is the life wanting to move for them, or where might it be stuck or entangled? And so I tend to be more visual than I ever have been these days, but imagining standing with them next to them and like, what's the question or the way of listening or mirroring or holding, resonating with whatever is up for them in a way that it can shift so that that flow of life can be more moving than stuck. I don't know if that made sense, but that's kind
it,
of the
yeah,
long.
No, it does to me. I have an overarching in my desire for simplicity, an overarching thing where I continue to find there's something. I don't always have the courage to do this. That's clear also. But most of the time I do. It's a simple question. It's just like, hey, you, or hey, team, or some other layers of that. It's as simple as, what are you noticing these days? Mm. And so often I'm giving people permission to say, you know, these don't have to be talking points about your team's objectives and goals.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what is the, you know, if it's the green outside, then talk about the green. Mm. If it's the coffee that you just had, then talk about the coffee. If it's the, you know, the sorrow that you've been feeling over the weekend, then talk about the sorrow. Because to me, the super natural, super, oh, separate those, not supernatural. Well, maybe it is supernatural. I don't know. But the very most natural part of that is just connecting it into like an invitation to be slightly associational. You know, if it's the green that's blooming outside or the forest walk that you're in, you know, what is it about that that inspires you? And then people will say things like, well, it's the spaciousness, it's the quiet, it's the calm, it's the naturalness, you know, any number of things. Being able to connect that back into even a proposition or a potential. I wonder if we might live some of that expansiveness, if that were the example, as a community, as a team. And that just seems to, like, that invites something that I get excited about, and it feels healthy, you know, and it feels restoring also.
Well, and what I would say, what I hear in that exchange is also that you are pausing and expressing warm curiosity about their experience in that moment. So it's not really what the question matters, but it's also the nature of that. They usually show up in rooms where people are like, okay, what did you get done? What's next on the agenda? Right. Hey, did you know, you get home? Hey, honey, did you get that errand? Right. But like, you're pausing and just wanting to genuinely hear about their experience and then receiving it and using that in a way that opens and draws something more forth. So I just want to point out, because I feel like that's part of the magic of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's fun to share that, and fun to be with you in a way that knows that, or you know, does your own version of those things, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, aren't we trying to be some good humans? I relate to that storyline.
Yeah, I love that framing so much. And the name of this human to human, I feel like it just lands and is so critically important right now.
That's beautiful. Beth, two things. One, with awareness of the time that we have today, or at least to frame it a little bit that way. One is, just in the spirit of anything arising for you now, as we continue to talk and share and interact with one another, just anything else that feels important that you would like to contribute into this little conversation and recording. That's one part. And then the second is, and for people who want to reach you, how do they do that?
I guess what was coming up for me was just the idea of more slowness. There's something to, I love the podcast format that we can take 45 minutes together and do this. And I feel like it's actually, you know, one of the things I want to have happen more in the world is people relearn how to make good friendships. And even one of my favorite things is just set up a weekly call with someone. Like I've formed some really wonderful friendships with people across the country, or I have a friend in Australia I've never met, but we talk weekly. So there's something to, like, whatever we just did here and the beauty, and I just love this conversation. But this is just something I would encourage folks to find ways to slow down and just make these little spaces. It's not that hard, right? Yeah. Regular spaces to slow down and have a friend. I think there's a Georgia O'Keeffe quote about like, no one really sees a flower. Do you remember that one? And because it takes time, just like making a friend takes time. So yeah.
Oh, beautiful. If people want to reach you, how do they find you?
Yeah, so right now my current website is called kinshiphub.net, N-E-T, and you can see I have a blog on there and my podcast. The podcast is called Living Love, and that's on all the platforms, and you can reach me there. And then my previous website was called New Directions Collaborative, and that has a lot of resources around facilitation and event design and stuff like that, a lot of good blogs. So that's linked on the Kinship site, but Kinship Hub is my current one. So thank you so much, Tennyson. This has been great. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just going to say a little thank you here also for all of that, Beth. It does feel fun to reconnect with the energies or the invitations, the themes of love, of kinship, of what's moving you, of mystery, of spark of yes. I mean, what a delightful way to have encounters with friends and colleagues, to maybe just follow a bit of the sparking of yes, the sparking that happens now. So thank you for joining. I'm going to pause the recording and you and I can say a proper goodbye with one another. And then I'll come back on and say a few words. Cool. Great. Okay, now I'm back. It's just me, Tennyson. Have said goodbye to Beth offline and want to just reflect out loud. She knows that I'm doing this. What a treat. I think one of the things that comes forward for me is that Beth and I have not seen each other. Well, we've probably been in the same room maybe twice over the years, and I think it does go back 10 years. And yet it was such an easy reach out. We are not the kind of people that are in conversations weekly, monthly, even yearly. And yet there's somehow still this connected thread that is through emails and newsletters received and things like that. So in a way, Beth stands out to me as one of those examples of people that are just part of the same forest or part of a shared forest, part of a shared effort, part of a shared energetic even. Very easy to be able to reconnect with her. I'm glad for the work that she's doing. I'm glad for the way that our work intersects, excuse me. You know, anytime I think I meet someone who is holding the energy of a deep, kind, loving purpose, a deeply human purpose, a restoring purpose, I get excited and I feel grateful and I feel moved. So all of that is true in reconnecting with Beth today. Thanks for listening into she and I in a reconnection and in an imagination together also for all the things. Boy, I appreciate the anchors of love, of kinship. These are the things I spoke when she was online, of being able to be in mystery, being able to be in flow. Grateful for all of that. So thank you to Beth again. And thank you to all of you who listen. Please share as inspired or listen and leave comments as inspired and carry some of the learnings or evolve some of the learnings. This is a podcast, as I've said, that I am rebooting and glad to be rebooting. I'm grateful for those who join, those who want to think and wonder out loud together. You can get more of my writings, etc., on my website, tennysonwolf.com, and in particular, the Human to Human blog. There's other writings, there's other resources on participative leadership and human to human depth, all of those kinds of things. Thanks for joining today.